Kent is my buddy's name, and he came down. We were at Glen Abbey, and we were warming up, and fuck, it was freezing. It was like 14 degrees, and he went back to his car, and he came back. He's got his fucking toque on, like a wool cap over his golf cap. The current temperature in Toronto is 12 degrees. Oh, I'm sorry, 11 degrees.
Yeah, next week looks pretty good. Maybe I'll wait till Thursday and stay for several days. I don't know.
This meeting is being live streamed to the surprise of nobody. I'm going to hit record. To the surprise of nobody, we're having a conversation about the weather. You know what, Dan, you know what Fred asked me almost immediately when we signed on a few minutes ago?
Did you wear your long underwear or long pants or something along those lines?
Close. He said, can you hear that noise? And I said, what noise? And he said, that's the sound of my furnace.
Your furnace. Yeah, well, you know.
Hey, Fred, we're on. The show's on now. What are you doing over there?
I'm just listening to your conversation. I didn't want to interrupt.
Well, there's
you were talking to Dan.
But interrupt to give it
you
some
said,
content.
Hey, Dan, and you asked Dan a few questions.
Yeah, I know you heard it. But you were in the middle of a little texting there. I was curious. No. When did you, so now you can give us some context as to when you switched the furnace on.
Last evening when my wife got cold. And I wasn't texting. I was turning the furnace off in case we could hear it. That's what I was doing.
I can't hear anything. I've got the air on here, and it drives Dan crazy. But
I can turn the furnace off with my phone because I have a Nest.
I know. You're a super Nest man. You're a Nesty boy. The sound of my air circulating in the house here drives Dan crazy, but no one else has said anything.
You can't hear the birds in the background here that I've got on the go.
Your whole getup is really something. When you signed on this morning, I mean, just look at yourself. Can you see yourself?
Yeah, I've got a t-shirt and a sweater and a winter coat on. What's the problem?
Listen, for the record, if you can't see Dan, he's got three layers on and a ball cap, which Dan rarely rocks, but he looks pretty good.
What, do you have an audition for Letter Kenny or something today? Huh?
That's right. Yeah. Give me a little less microphone there. You got a little distortion on the end of it.
Talking to me or...
No, other guy.
Another guy. Other guy in the show. Okay.
Other guy in the show.
Crazy. It's funny how that works. I never touched anything from yesterday. Huh.
So that's where we're at. Of course, why don't we come up with something new to start the show other than the weather? Although it is certainly a topic of conversation because it is and has been now for several days unusually cold. And not just cold. Like, sunny and cold is one kind of vibe, but the vibe yesterday was definitely like playing golf in October.
Yeah, that's what has bothered me the last few days is the angry, almost November sky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those clouds that are gray in the middle and, you know, sort of white on the outside, and they're all layered and doesn't look friendly. Doesn't look friendly for June.
You just describe what our bodies look like in bathing suits. Gray in the middle. Anyway, Dan, no matter, here's the thing. The great thing about Dan is this. Like, no matter what he's wearing, and I, you know, for the record, Freddie's got a hoodie on. I'm wearing a long sleeved shirt and long pants. And Dan's got this thing on. He does. He looks like a character from Red Green or Letter Kenny or some hose bucket TV show. But yet is still far and away so much better looking than us.
Boy,
and it's true. Did you not see? You agree with me, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And me more so than you.
Well, whatever. Wherever we are in the gradient of hideous, Dan's so far and away better looking, even wearing a ball cap, an old jacket, he has a hoodie on underneath and a layer underneath that. What is that
like? I know.
It's a lot to take in is what it is.
Last Thursday, I guess it was, Dahl and I went to the Jays game, and I had promised her for her birthday that she could get some Jays paraphernalia. from the Jay's shop. I thought she was going to get a hoodie. She gets a bucket hat or whatever, but it was very uncomfortable for me in there because there's a lot of mirrors, and every so often I catch myself in the mirror.
Yeah, it's too much.
No, and I know people, you tend to be sort of self-critical, and you see things in yourself that other people don't, but my goodness, it's like this poor woman. People are still...
You obviously
well, yeah,
and with that's the beard the point, and the thing you've been doing your facial hair. Not,
Dan, you're missing the point. We know Fred's beautiful inside, but see, really. You can't relate. Like, I had occasion last week to bring a buddy to the old golf course I played at, and he wanted to take some pictures. And he's sort of somewhere between Dan and us. I mean, better looking than we are, but not as good looking as Dan. Anyway, he takes a selfie with me. And every time someone takes a picture of me now, I look at it after. I'm like, who is that? What is that? Who's that old man? It's, there's just no getting around it. You know, we were never like Dan, but now that we're getting older, it's Dan just keeps getting better looking. And even in this getup that he's got this morning.
Yeah,
but see, yours has sort of been generational, not mine. Like you say, oh, look at that old man. It's not the old that bothers me. It's the odd, the oddity of me. And that's been forever. And it's just weird. Certain angles, too. So you get an angle in a mirror and you think, oh, my God. And then you turn quickly and you're thinking,
that's
only changing my perspective in the mirror. Yeah. Other people on those angles are looking at me and going, oh, my God.
Yeah, they do. They're other people look at you and they're thinking, wait a second. Isn't that supposed to be guarding the bridges? Isn't he supposed to be? Well, and here's the thing about funny people. Funny people tend not to be traditionally good looking. Like, I don't think I'm hideous. I just look at Dan and think, I'm not that. I'm not, maybe I'm somewhere along the scale of, on my way to troll. But if you think about it, if you're as good looking as Dan, if we were either of us as good looking as Dan, there's no way we would be as funny, because you don't have to be. You don't have to be funny.
Well, are there any really good looking comics that you can?
I was thinking about that in advance of this essay. I thought about that, and I thought, you look at Letterman, kind of a weird looking dude, I've been on television, but when I see myself on TV, I'm not a traditionally good-looking guy. I'm just sort of there. But what?
I think over the years, the name Howard Glassman or Humble Howard has come up and been, he's a good-looking guy. Yeah, he's a good-looking guy. That's probably been said about you. I can guarantee those words have never, ever been uttered about me. And I'm just being serious. And again,
I've uttered those words.
It's a hole. Listen, it's a hole in my life that I can live with, and it's something when you look back on, you can't change. Do I wish it had been different? Yeah. Listen, I have no regrets, but again, it's one thing. Yeah. I've heard people say, Howard, he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, it's ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing. My theory about comics, I'm sure there's some guys that are, but if you think of the top male comedians, even Seinfeld, he's not a traditionally, he's good looking enough. Louis C.K., Jim Jeffries, Nate Bargatze, they're all kind of, because here's the thing, when you're as good looking as Dan and you have a big wang, there's no need to be funny. So the thing is, we were not blessed with those things. So we're trying to make it up by being entertaining. This is my theory.
Johnny Carson was a good looking man. Don't you think?
Yes, but not in the Dan Duran, really. He was good looking enough.
A cut above the norm, I would say. Have we done the intro yet? I can't even remember.
No, I'm going to do it now. We're going to get
Because I want to ask you again about speaking of comics and comedians, I have a question to ask you.
All right.
Okay.
Dan, are you ready to start the show? Since we've just been spending 9 minutes talking about how good looking you are and what's that like?
Start the show. I was going to say we should start the show a little while ago, and I couldn't find a
spot.
And
by the way, my theory of how good looking Dan is, and we know he's got the big, the trousers snake. I think he also, see, guys like you and I, the Fred man and the Hell man, we try harder in bed. We do. We just do. I don't think Dan has to try hard. Dan just lays there and lets it all happen. Dan's whole idea is like, hey, I'm Dan Duran. Feast your eyes upon this.
I'm just coasting.
That's all, man.
all my partners insist on doggy style, though.
Actually,
they insist on it.
No, they want you to do it like the Amish, like, you know, except the sheets over you. The sheets over you. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's enough of this nonsense, Dan Duran.
All right.
Well, hang on a second. No, that something's wrong.
Okay.
Hold on. I thought I had changed the audio settings, but I can tell right away that I did not zoom. Oh, I know why, Dan. Very, very easy fix. Yeah. I just didn't plug it in. Everything is
beautiful. That's me. I thought I'd interlude it's with this while we're...
What is that? Like a
starry summer night.
Yeah, it's like, how are you playing that through your... Is that through your computer?
Yeah. I've got a computer, too. Everybody's anyway,
it's true. You know what? Listen, we can't compete with your outer beauty. All we can try and do is be good people on the inside, Dan. That's all. That's all.
And he's lessons. That too.
He's a lesson. Yeah.
No, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
But I guarantee you. You know what? I guarantee he doesn't try too hard in the sack. He just lays there and lets everyone just kind of like. Mm-hmm. It's like a. Dan is the Mandarin buffet of.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Excellent sermon today, Reverend Howe.
All right.
There we go. This episode of Humble and Fred is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Humble and Fred studio in Toronto, from our Brampton facility with a now-open pool, and from a trailer north of Peterborough with a Danis Duranis bust. I'm Dan Duran, broadcasting live from the Ray and Nancy McLeod Elder Zoom Theater, featuring the Sean Martin's Lobby Bar, and brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. And now here are two men who, disappointed by spring weather, are really looking forward to summer, at which time they will spend the entire time whining about summer being too short, last year it wasn't like this, summer's supposed to be... Oh, I have to pee. It's Humble and Fred.
Tony Clement will join us in a few minutes' time. Nick Inis with the Condo Report, Dan Duran's News. As well, the regular lineup of nonsense and foolish content that you've come to know and love from the Humble and Fred Show. We know that the furnace is on. We're homely. Dan's beautiful. I have a senior moment I'd like to describe for you in a moment, but you first had a question for the folks.
Yeah, because you can relate to this. In fact, I think in the near future, you actually have sort of a gig where you're hired and you stand on a stage to be funny. Yes. This story, I don't know if you've seen it, about Rob Schneider was out in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I saw it in Regina.
Regina Foundation. Anyway, he's booed off the stage. They actually had to take him off early because, you know, obviously this was a paid gig, I would imagine. Not big in this guy to begin with for various reasons. You know, and here's the question I'm asking. So he goes to this foundation, he gets up, he starts doing transgender jokes, he starts doing anti-vax jokes, which doesn't sit well with the audience. And again, you could sit there and go, oh, what's the matter with the audience now, this cancel culture, this wokeism? But when you're hired by the Regina Hospital Foundation, now you've been in this situation many times, haven't you, where you got to sort of run the material by them. They're hiring you for a specific, you know, a specific type of fundraiser. So if you're at the hospital foundation and you start making fun of transgender people and, anti-vax jokes and pulverizing the current sitting prime minister, which he did, which, again, I have no problem with. Like, he's offside there. That's got nothing to do with wokeism, does it? Like, if Rob Schneider's at a theater and I pay a ticket to go see Rob Schneider because I want to see Rob Schneider the comedian, well, then anything goes, right? It's on me. But when he's hired by these people, this especially a hospital foundation, well, it's on him, is it not?
I've never been a huge fan of his. I know him and David Spade and Adam Sandler, that whole group, they're friends from the SNL days, and he sort of shows up as a cute little sidebar to some of Adam Sandler's bits and such. I did see the story. It's the it's called the Four Seasons Ball in Regina, Saskatchewan. I can imagine that's a pretty expensive ticket, and they're raising money. What was it? The foundation, Hospitals of Regina Foundation.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I would ballpark his fee on the low end, $25,000. On the higher end, $50,000 to $75,000 is what they paid him. Check this out, Dan. They had to they literally came on stage and cut his set short. According to witnesses, Schneider was roundly booed during his performance, which ended much earlier than planned.
How do you pull somebody off the stage? Do they just walk out and say...
Apparently they did that. They walked out and said, Mr. Schneider, could you please stop this? And
decent
assist.
The reason
I'm going to get around to answering your question, because I ran some stuff by Fred yesterday, because I'm hosting. And you make a really, really excellent point in terms of, if you go and see Rob Schneider, what's that, the Regina Center of the Arts or something? Like, it's got like, it's kind of the Hummingbird Center, whatever they call it here in Toronto. It's a soft seat theater. It holds a couple thousand people. If you go see him, that's different. If you buy a ticket for $500 or $1,000 to support the hospital foundation, and this guy comes out and starts doing this material, you didn't sign up for that. So that I'm with you on that. So I have this gig there. We call them corporate gigs. I have a gig a couple weeks from now. And I'll explain later what it is, but it doesn't matter. It's a corporate gig. And I was running some of the material by Fred yesterday, because not only did I have to write it specifically for this event, but the people organizing it, the people that hired me, need to send it to them, the people whose event it is, so they can vet the material.
Yeah, and this is why I found the Schneider story so sticky on the heels of the conversation you and I had. And then I'm thinking, well, you know, what's Schneider thinking by doing that? But then the next level is, the people that hired him, did they not know what they were getting? This guy, within the last year, this happened to him at another comedy performance. I don't know if it was a fundraiser or whatever, but he was booed off the stage for his off-color material. Didn't they do their research before they hire this guy for their hospital foundation gala?
I didn't know that part of the story. I didn't know he had had another incident.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You would think a comedian, though, would tailor to the audience, because... Unless he doesn't want to. Maybe he just doesn't want the audience to like
him. You know, I don't find him... Like, I've seen his stand-up. I don't find him... He's not a very bright guy.
No, I was going to say. Well, look at his stance. He's an anti-vaxxer, and he's actually a Trumper. Yes, he is.
Yeah, and he's a Trumper.
It's not why I brought this up, either.
No, but I wanted us to make that point. I know that he's a, you know, pro-Trump guy, and you look at the material... He was making jokes at a hospital fundraiser, making jokes about vaccination policies, the COVID-19 pandemic at a hospital fundraiser, and, you know, anti-gay or whatever, gay material and trans, anti-trans material. Again, that just shows me he's not a very bright guy.
No.
But to your point about...
Defending the truckers.
But to your point about what they... The people who organized it, I'm surprised, knowing what you just said, because even on this smaller, much smaller level, the vetting of my material, we've been going back and forth on it now for a few weeks, because I'm not there as the entertainment. I'm just there as the host, but I'm doing like 10 minutes off the top of this presentation where I have to give a speech.
Yeah.
And I took a couple different, you know, stabs at it, and I had to run those by the people that are organizing it. So, again, too, the point is, how did the Regina Hospital Foundation not have this on their as part of their radar with this guy?
Yeah, I would think the process in this situation would be, again, if it's your own private show, go crazy. But this process would have been, okay, we want to hire Rob Schneider. What do you got? Where are you going with this stuff? Oh, it's not good for us. And then he'd say, you know, because he has this stand now, wokeism is over. As far as he's concerned, it's over. So he's just trudging ahead with mm-hmm. whatever material he wants. He's going to be a trailblazer here. But I don't think he has the talent for that. But, you know, then it would be Schneider could look at it and say, well, no, that's not really what I want to do. Okay, well, then you're not the guy for us. Thank you very much. We'll keep looking. But that process never seemed to take place here. It was weird. The whole thing's weird.
The whole thing is weird. Anyway.
One other question, Howard. Do you remember, was Rob Schneider not on our show when we were on Mojo?
Yes.
One day?
He was. Yep.
Yeah, he was. In person, wasn't he? Didn't he come in to Young and Norton one day? I can't remember.
I don't know if it was Young and Norton or Young and Dundas.
Do you think
it was Young and Norton?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
I've done a lot of corporate gigs where they have hired me to do stand-up. Mm-hmm. And always, I mean, even at, I've never gotten that kind of dough, or I've never been at, I mean, I've done a couple things where they've raised a lot of money, but, you know, the rule of thumb is, and this is just with everybody, you always mm-hmm. err on the side of being as unoffensive as possible. Mm-hmm. I've had lots of people say, "Okay, you can't swear, so there's no foul language." And sometimes it's hard to do these gigs because you have to look at your material and say, "Okay, what can I do that's generic enough?" And even this gig I'm doing in a couple of weeks, I sort of was talking to Freddie after the show yesterday, and I said, "You know, I'm writing these jokes for an audience of people." You know, some of it's pretty lame, but it's like I wrote it knowing that that's the kind of jokes I have to do for these people.
That's right. And that's the structure of that gig. I get it. You know, I get that.
See, if I were as good looking as Dan, I could just stand there for 10 minutes, have people look at me. Just wave occasionally.
Oh, no. You know what Dan does? He goes to these corporate gigs and just has a kissing booth. He just sits there.
That's
people
right.
pay money to kiss Dan.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Dan just stands. Raise money for the sick children.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, what year did kissing booths go out? When did that stop?
Oh, I don't know.
In the 50s, late 50s that stopped? Mm.
Yeah, you don't see kissing booths around as much as you used to.
$10 a kiss, women are coming. How much to kiss your hog? Yeah.
Oh, come on.
What?
No one wants to hear that.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of something to do with that. I was thinking Dan will be there in a booth and it has a thing where you have to be this tall to ride the dandaran.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that's that. I had a senior moment a week ago while we were off. I have had a pair of pretty nice Ray-Ban sunglasses for some time. And I was pretty proud of myself that I'd had them for a couple years. I think XGFR gave them to me for Christmas like 3 years ago. And so I was very, very careful with them.
Prescription?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
And these glasses, Dan, I think they're like a couple $100. They're more than I would spend on myself for sunglasses. So I was very happy. What's that?
Trying to make sure that you kept
like track you know of because them. Like a child sometimes I can't have nice things. So these were my favorite sunglasses. I kept them in my car. I almost never wore them away from my car. But one day I was going for a bike ride, which I do now. I'm going to go biking around. Actually, just to pause for a second. Me and Boone went for another bike ride last week. Mm-hmm. We went over to Mount Pleasant Cemetery, I think it's called, whatever. Mm-hmm. And rode around where Harold Ballard was buried there. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was cool.
Jeff Merrick helped dug his grave, remember?
That's right. He and I were talking about that. I'd never actually mm-hmm. ridden because it's such a big cemetery. You can loop around. It was one of the few pleasant afternoons. Anyway, so I came back. I had those sunglasses on. I came back after Boone left and to make sure I would remember to put them in the car. Wait for it. I put them on the roof of my car.
Oh.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Anyone want to finish the story?
You drove over them?
I put them on the roof of my car, and then later that afternoon, I thought, Stan and I should go to Stan Park, I call it. It's about a five-minute drive. I take him there, and it's fully enclosed, and he can run around without his leash on. And so we go and do that, and I come back, and I was thinking, oh, I couldn't remember. This is the senior part. There's two parts of the senior moment. I started thinking that later that, so I come home with Stan, we're making dinner, and I thought, oh, where did I leave my sunglasses? And I'm looking around the house for my sunglasses, because first I forgot that I put them on the roof of my car. And then I remembered, and now those sunglasses are gone. Mm. Just gone.
The number of times I've driven away and put that, I have a new policy, a personal policy now. I will not put anything on the roof of the car, because I can tell you the number of times I've driven away, lost coffee cups. What was the other? I lost something valuable I put on the, my weather station that I use to look at the weather. Put that on top of the car. Yeah, yeah. And then in the rear view mirror as I'm heading up the highway, see it bouncing down the highway.
I got back on my bike and I went and I drove around the neighborhood to see if maybe I could find them where they fell off. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just fell off to the side of the road, but they are long gone now.
You know, there's a trailer park story connected to this. At the end of the weekend, you get all your garbage, you put it in a green garbage bag, and often, instead of putting it in the car, you put it on the roof of the car. And then as you drive by the garbage bin, you toss the garbage. And across the highway, just at the gate there, Howard, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. There used to be a guy there named, what was his name, Dan, the guy with the fishing hut? Andy.
Yeah.
Old Andy.
Andy, who would sell bait. And him and his wife would sit there on Sunday nights. Their entertainment was watching all the people that forgot to take the garbage bag off there, the roof of their cars, and then drive up the highway. And remember, they used to call us idiots.
Idiots, yeah.
Now, this guy was such a farmer. Like, really base farmer weirdo guy. And it was just odd that he would call us idiots. But I did it a couple of times. You turn out of the park, you start driving up that hill out of Burley Falls, and all of a sudden you see a garbage bag bouncing behind you. Quite common, Howard. So, and that a lot of that is an age connected. It's just, our minds are so full of what we have to do and where we're going that.
Well, there's two, like I said, there's two parts to that. One was that I put them on there. I hadn't fully intended to leave them there so I would know to bring them back. So I wouldn't lose them in the house. Then I thought I lost them in the house. Mm-hmm. And then had completely forgot that I had put them on. So it was kind of like a 1.5 senior moment for sure. Listen, man, it's
sad, actually. Sad. They're gone.
Well, they're gone now. And I would never, I think maybe they're more than that. Maybe they're $250 sunglasses. I'm never buying those sunglasses again.
Yeah, but did you really like them?
I love them, yeah.
Well, get $250 if you really love them. Buddy, you don't have a lot of time left. Treat yourself to those beautiful glasses again. So what are you going to spend? What would be, $150 be okay?
Let me ask you a question.
What?
Since we're talking about these special sunglasses, is there a possibility we could write them off as part of the expenses of doing this program?
Yeah, maybe. You need sunglasses when you're traveling and aging if energy aging is
with,
a travel.
Show. Aging with energy. By the way, I don't think we announced to the people that aging with energy has been named a top 25 travel podcast by some scammy web thing.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Congratulations, guys. Yeah.
Yes.
But Howard.
Wow.
Did you see the guy follow it up again?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
great. He's very anxious to makes this declaration with top 25.
Top 25 travel.
This is
podcast.
In the world too.
Yeah, not just in Canada.
Yeah, it's usable. That's right. It's promotional material for the Home Alone
Everything
Fred
is
show.
Usable, exactly.
Howard, let me get back to that. So what would be a price you would pay for sunglasses?
Well, here's the thing. Every year or every other year, because I've had some gift certificate money, pro shop money, I mentioned it a little while ago. I had almost $1,000 that I had won at this tournament a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, whenever it was. So I like there's sunglasses I wear when I golf. They're like Maui Jims or that type of thing. And they're around a couple hundred dollars. So I buy those, but I buy them with money I've been given. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, I know what your point is, and I should probably just buy the sunglasses that I like, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Absolutely.
Like, why are you punishing yourself?
I don't know. Why have I?
You have so much you have so much self-disdain. It's like, no, I'm going to get the glasses that I don't like. That's what I deserve.
Yeah, that sounds like me. Anyway, I think the word you're looking for is self-loathing, and trust me. Anyway, Dan,
yep.
We've got things to do, and Tony Clement, so we're going to do a little bit of business and talk a little bit of sports. And then Tony Clement's coming on. Dan's coming back right after Tony. And then we're going to shut it down. All right?
All right. All right.
All right. And all before right. we get to some more Humble and Fred content, let's talk about this. You know, I'm trying to find some different music to play for you here this morning. Oh, here's some fun little... all right, there we go.
All right.
And who will you start with today as we recognize the fine men and women that make this program possible?
Well, the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan. That's Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. You know, there's so many aspects of this that work for small business. You know, number one is it's great security, a feeling of security for your employees. They work for a small company. A lot of small companies wouldn't dream of having a benefits package, but it's possible, it's doable. And to do that for your employees would be much appreciated, I am sure. Because often people say that, yeah, I got a job and it comes with all kinds of benefits. Anyway, you know, dental and prescriptions and therapies and travel insurance and they have an HR component. They have the Teladoc system where they'll hook you up with the doctor that can specifically address what ails you. It's great. I've done it before. They give you the guy's name, the number, how to contact. It's fantastic. It's a service they don't have to offer, but they do it. Just part of the overall service of the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, HumbleAndFredRadio.com Incorporated. We've been part of it for about 6 or 7 years now, if not longer. And it's worked for us. What can we say? Howard had a great story about travel insurance. Hundreds of thousands of dollars saved by having the security of this plan. The Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business.
Just checking in with Facebook. Greg Chirwati, who is one of our regular Facebook fans, says Ray-Bans have some glasses under $200 and then have some at 50% off that can get you down well under $200, but most are around that price. Just depends on what you're looking for. Thanks, Greg. I'll tell you what I am looking for is I'm looking for this company, Boron One, to do what it's claiming it can do. If you go to the news section of boronone.com, and I've mentioned this before, they have announced an update to an early warrant exercise incentive program. All of this to say that the company is on the move, a junior mining company that's doing what very, very few others in this position ever get a chance to do, which is possibly take the mineral boron out of the ground. And that could have a significant impact for you and your portfolio. Don't take my word for it. Of course, have a professional check it out. And Freddie and I make no claims about stock prices. That's not what we do. But what we can tell you is go to boronone.com. Check it out for yourself and see if this stock is something you'd like to add to your financial financial plan. Oh, all right.
See, there's an old guy thing that I find myself doing all the time now.
Like, can't find the word?
Searching for words.
Yeah.
Bugs me.
Well, the thing is, I had already said portfolio in that sentence, so I was trying to find another word.
Right, I get it.
Yes, it's plan. No, you're absolutely right. Very quickly, you had asked me about this. I didn't mention it on the show because I'm not sure how much of this I want to share, but because it's really, there's not much to share. I did have date two. It was great with this woman. Fantastic evening, dinner. And then we're down by the lake here. You know, I live in the city. It's like here's a curious thing. I've been on this dating app off and on for a little while now, a couple months. And I've actually had a couple connections with people. but they live in like one lived in the East End and one lived in Whitby. Mm-hmm. And I sort of didn't pursue that because I have no desire to drive to the East End or to Whitby. Isn't that weird? You know what I mean? And so date two with his new lady friend, as I was driving to pick her up, it's only like 15 minutes from my house. You know, I thought to myself, well, if nothing else, this is convenient.
Sure. I mean, that's a big part of it.
It's a huge part of it, especially living where I live. So we had a nice night. Had dinner, went to the Cirque du Soleil thing, had a lot of laughs, you know, watched the people doing crazy stunts and the French thing. It was all great. And we're going to see each other again. So there you go. That's my new date update.
Was there a kiss goodnight?
A very, very, very brief kiss goodnight, yes.
On the cheek or on the lips? What? On the lips.
I think that's all the detail I'll provide.
Okay, I'm just asking. Just a guy.
Yeah.
You know, this Cirque du Soleil, you know, I don't know if you... Did you ever go to Vegas and see Beatles Love Cirque du Soleil?
No, I have not. Have you?
Oh, yes. About 10 years ago. Fantastic. And why doesn't that show travel? Like, if they had Beatles Love Cirque du Soleil and brought it to Toronto, I don't know if it's just Vegas exclusive for whatever reason. I think it's still running, but I know several people have seen it. It's fantastic.
Well, I think I would like that because the only, like, I've been to, this might be the third or fourth time I've been to one of these shows. I've never seen the Beatles one, but my only problem with the show is the through line or the story. Mm-hmm. I never really know what's going on. I have no idea.
Yeah.
If somebody asked me, what was the story? The show is called Echo. It's down by the lake here. It's like 10 minutes from our office. If somebody said, hey, did you enjoy it? Absolutely. Had a great time. Really enjoyed it. What was it about? I have no idea.
Well, it doesn't really matter with that.
It doesn't matter.
No.
But they like to make you think there's a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there for 2 hours. At one point, she went to the washroom. So I was Googling, what is this about? It just was like... What is this story? What is the point of this? Who's the girl with the backpack? Why is there a guy with a wolf head? What's the giant cube? But in between all of that, there's all these young human beings doing the most amazing things. You know, you just look at the acrobatics of it and you sort of say to yourself, you know, we're pretty good. This species is pretty good. We can do some pretty amazing things.
Did you lean into your date and say, you should see the trapeze I have at home?
Yeah, that's what I did. I said, yeah. You see that move there? I can do that. Yeah, that's what I did.
But in all seriousness now.
Okay.
I just think if they announce that, you know, next spring, Cirque du Soleil Beatles Love is coming, it's all people would be talking about. And as far as the story goes, you know, it sort of takes you through the chronology of the Beatles, and it's great. You know the music.
It's
fantastic. Like, it's fantastic. Fantastic. Can I be any more adamant?
Well, she had mentioned that there's another show in Vegas that she had seen.
The water one or something?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The water one.
Yeah.
And I'd not seen that one. I haven't. Have you been to Vegas since we've been doing this show? Because you said 10 years ago.
No. Just prior.
Okay.
I think it was. Oh, you know when I was in Vegas? I was in Vegas the day that Michael Jackson died. So that's what, 2009 maybe? 2010?
I don't have that. Whatever. I don't have that date.
But anyway, that it was. I was in Vegas the day he died.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't really have that in my
memory. Yeah, it was back then, so maybe 13 years ago then or whatever.
Anyway, it was a nice night. It was a really nice night, and you know, where we had dinner is on a street. I'm not sure if you even know the street. It's called Marine Parade Drive. It goes right along the water. And this sort of section of Toronto is very, it's all been developed down there where all those you know, kind of park lawny area, and it's like you're in Santa Monica. People walking along the boulevard there, and it's right on the lake, and there's restaurants, and they put the show there. Like we walked to the show was like a 5 minute walk. It's, you know, and again, not getting off the topic of the actual date itself, you know, just a way to sort of say, when you appreciate, even though it wasn't that great a night in terms of the temperature, it was fucking cold. It was cold. I was wearing a sweater.
Yeah.
But it sort of makes you appreciate the city that we're in, because it really was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just a really cool night. The sky was neat and people just walking along.
Last Thursday, went to the Jays game, and as usual, my boy Danny lives right beside the dome there in a condo, and we met him afterwards, as we do after Jays games. We went for dinner, went to this great Thai restaurant not far from him, Khao Sao Road or something. And Delisa and I were saying that. It was just, you know, just walking around. It's just a fun atmosphere. The city is so vibrant, so alive, that we actually entered into a conversation of maybe we're doing this all wrong. Instead of selling this house and moving north, we should sell this house and move south, like into a condo and become, you know, like Frasier or Bob Newhart show or something, you know, where they live in stylish condos in the city.
So wait a second. So in Frasier, who are you exactly? You'd be like the dad in Frasier.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
But you know what I mean? Maybe that's the lifestyle for us, you know?
You know, ex-wife Randy sold her place in North Toronto, that little bungalow she had, and moved to just the condo that you're describing, this cool place right on Queens Quay.
Mm-hmm.
And I love going to visit her. I mean, I couldn't live there. It's too it sounds strange. You're just too city locked. But Randy,
no, I get it.
Randy doesn't need to leave the city to go to the golf and whatever. So where she lives, she almost never drives.
Fantastic.
And it's beautiful down there. But you have to accept that you're not leaving there. You would leave rarely and spend all your time in the city, which is great. But you have to kind of accept that.
Yeah, I don't know if I could ever make that move, but it's something to think about, something to dream about, something to
well, you know what you guys could
contemplate.
Do? You could try it out. Like when Danny goes on a road trip, you could try it out for a few weeks, because where Danny lives is right in the heart of it.
Oh, yeah. It's funny you say that, because that was his suggestion, and we're going to do that. He told me right at the foot of Spadina, there's a little water taxi thing that takes you over to the island. And he said, it's amazing. You go over there, and he said, you completely, as long as you're not looking back at the city, you think you're up north in some, like you're away for the weekend. And then you turn around, there's the city. Within seconds, you're back at your condo. You know, it's like crazy.
Yeah, where Danny lives, you'd never have to, I mean, you know, even for groceries, you know, he's got a grocery store in the bottom of his building.
Yes, he does, yeah.
And it's not just, you know, there's all kinds of food around there that you guys could walk to. The only thing about his place is I've been there, I can't remember. It's really busy. Like, you know, it's a very busy area.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I can't imagine it's too noisy because of the way they built those buildings now, but.
Well, he's lucky because he lives right on the top floor of his building, so he doesn't have anybody above him, and he's high enough that you don't really get the city noise per se.
Right.
But he's also got a nice long balcony, and you can look out over the lake from his balcony. It's great. It's great lifestyle for him.
Let's switch gears to somebody that has lived both in the city, and of course, he's comfortable up north. He is the Honorable Antony Clement, former minister in the Harper government federally, and the Mike Harris and Ernie Eves governments in the province of Ontario. As always, we like to introduce him. He was, I believe at one time, second in command of this country, something like that. I don't have the details in front of me. But it was one of those things that he wasn't the first runner-up, but he was like Miss Congeniality. If the government was a beauty pageant. Welcome back to our program, Tony Clement, everybody.
Hey, Tom.
Hello.
Tony.
Hello.
How are you, my fun
guys? Yeah. Welcome back.
How are you enjoying this nice fall that we're having? Are you enjoying fall?
Yeah, oh my goodness. Like, it's just brutal. We deserve better, don't we?
Oh, yeah. I'd say. Hey, Tone, yesterday we were talking about sort of political polarization and the fact that, you know, it used to be you could have issue disagreements with your buddy who might be a liberal, you're a conservative, but you are still friends. But now it's really gotten nasty, you know?
Seems to be that they're getting nastier, right? Yeah.
That's
what everybody's saying.
Have you ever had somebody blatantly dislike you without knowing you just simply because you're a conservative?
Have
you run into that?
Yeah.
Let me count the ways.
Exactly.
Okay, but you know, this is because years and years ago, somebody approached me, when I got fired from radio, would you be interested in politics? And Delise said, no, I don't want you to do that because back then it'd be too nasty. But that's part of the deal. Like, somebody just doesn't like you because you're a member of the Conservative Party.
Right. And they don't know anything about you. They don't know anything about your backstory. But you're obviously an evil human being. And that happens all the time. Even post-politics, it still happens. So yeah. It just never goes away. And I think social media has really turbocharged that in our society.
That's what we said yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And it just means that, you know, before, when I was in when I started in 1995, provincially, let's say, you know, I remember I would get... just starting to get email, like emails were a thing by then, 1995 for sure. And phone calls, you'd get phone messages. I remember these little pink or yellow slips of paper, so-and-so from your constituency called, and you'd get the occasional email. But now it's a torrent. I mean, everybody is commenting 24/7 on social media. There's never any break from it.
Well, that's kind of the point I made to Fred yesterday, that in the polarization or the polarized world we live in, you know, I often look and through, you look at history and think, well, in every generation and every time in history, people had their own set of difficult circumstances. But this is unique in a time in history where people can have access to express themselves in a way they never could before. Even in our little world, when Fred and I first started in 1990 or 89, if people didn't like something we did, they had to write a letter to our bosses. Mm-hmm. And people did. I got lots of letters.
Yeah.
Fred will tell you, I got lots of letters when I would make my funny little religious jokes from the Catholic Civil Rights League. But by the mid-90s, and I used to say this, people could tell you whether they liked you or didn't like you in real time because they could email you. And then when they could start to text you. So I imagine it's similar for you. Like, if you want to indulge in social media and see what people think of you, it can be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, and it definitely has an impact on mental health. You know, I know nobody cares about the mental health of politicians, but they should care about it.
Yes.
They should care about it because
care about the mental health of Donald Trump. That's what I'm going to say.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I think you're absolutely right. And of course, with social media, there are ways to be completely anonymous as well. There's no accountability for what people say and allege. With zero facts in front of them, and that goes for either side of the political divide. I'm not picking on one side or the other.
By extension, you have kids. Your wife, does it bother them? Like, you know, your kids love you, so it's like people saying these things about my dad. That's not my dad. That's, you know, my dad's a good guy. What's this all about?
Yeah, I think definitely they were happier when I exited politics. I'm sure that just to have a little, even a break from it, like, because they have, not all my kids, but two out of the three have social media lives as well. I'm happier for them that they're not subjected to, you know, just try to get at me by getting at them. Right.
Yeah.
There's that too. And that is really a worrisome trend, but it is out there. There's no question about it.
Well, that's our, you know, we know that because both Fred's children and mine, you know, they don't tell anybody who we are. They say, I think they say that I'm in computer sales and Fred is a feed salesman. Hey, I mentioned that you were in the Eves and Harris government.
Yes.
I always tell the story because I was friendly with Al Palladini before he went into politics. And I remember seeing, because Harris had asked him, and I think he was Minister of Transportation.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And I remember seeing Al, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months into his political career, and Al had been beloved in his neighborhood. He was, he spent his whole life just doing things for others. And all he ever had was sort of love coming back from the community. And I remember he said this to me. We're having a coffee one Sunday morning. He said, Humble, I had no idea. I had no idea. Because he was all of a sudden, because he was conservative and in the public eye, the shots he was being taken, and this was the days of the Toronto Star and just newspapers, but he said, man, he just shook his head at me. He said, I had no idea this was coming.
Yeah, no, and there's, I think people are more aware now before they get into politics just how rough and tumble it is. And so you have to be prepared for that. But, you know, and I was Al's successor as transportation minister. It was Al Paladini, then it was me. And then he passed away all too soon, unfortunately. Yeah. But he had this thing where he would do this thing to raise money for a United Way called Have a Weenie with Al Paladini.
That's right.
I thought that was really cool. So when I became a cabinet minister, like federally, provincially, all through my time as cabinet minister, to raise money for United Way, I had macaroni with Tony.
Nice.
It was a little homage to Al Paladini.
And just a quick button on the Al Paladini story, because Al loved golf. He lived on the second hole of this very fine golf course in Woodbridge. And I loved the guy. He was a really, really nice man. And was always nice to everybody, even some kid like me that, you know, he barely knew. Do you know how he passed away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell the story.
Well, from what I remember, he was playing golf with his friends in Florida and literally just putted out and then fell over dead.
Yeah.
Like, that is one of the two great ways to die. Mm-hmm. Other way's in bed. Let's not go there. But that's, you know, you want to, you know, sort of finish the last, just finish and go. But finishing the last, he finished putting out and then just fell over.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly the story I heard too. And yeah. Again, too soon, but if you're gonna figure out a way to go, that's not a bad way.
Absolutely. You know, they say name recognition is huge when you leave maybe the private sector and become a politician. You know, Al Paladini with his car dealership, those commercials he had, he was one of those car dealers that just flooded the market with those Al Paladini commercials, and they were a bit cheesy but very clever. So he was a celebrity before.
Yeah,
he even ran for politics.
Oh yeah, so it's like Mel Lastman.
Like Mel Lastman, yes, exactly.
Same deal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as I said, really, I was in that community for a long time. I know a lot of people that know him. I wanted to switch gears because I've been looking at this story and I don't understand it. Maybe Fred does, but I wanted to get your reaction to it. And I need a little context for it because I've been reading about Pierre Poilievre having some issue with national security. So here's the story. The Conservative Party of Canada is arguing that having access to national security briefings is an impediment to their leader doing his job. Now, I don't understand that sentence. I mean, I understand the words, but so give me some context about what is his problem with his security clearance, and why are you guys arguing that having security clearance would be bad?
Right. So, yeah, this is in the emerged from the darkest depths of conspiracy theories. Let's mention that we won't mention who's been peddling it, but a former next to colleague of yours. But the idea is
wait, a former what?
Yeah.
Well, an adjacent colleague of yours.
Somebody that was in our universe.
Yes.
Okay.
A broadcaster?
Yes.
Okay. Has been
he has the initials Dean Blundell.
Okay. Hey, Freddie, you're breaking up again, so I'm going to stay with Tony. Oh. You have to redo that because you're starting to get frozen. So Blundell has been this is where it came from whatever his thing is called.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether it came from him. But he relentlessly pursues this idea that there's something wrong with Pierre Poilievre's backstory or life, personal life, that means he can't get a security clearance.
And that's not true.
And that's not true. He Obviously, he was sworn in. Pierre was sworn in as a cabinet minister. That gives you a certain level of security clearance, not necessarily the top level, but a level. He has taken, Pierre Poilievre has taken the position that if he goes through the process of a security clearance and then gets briefed on the matters that pertain to that, he won't be allowed to talk about it anymore. Because once you get that certain level five, let's say, security clearance, you can't talk about the things they divulge to you. So then he's impeded from his job of asking the questions and talking about this whole election interference stuff. So
you're saying this is all just nonsense.
Nonsense. Yeah, nonsense.
Which, it's in, I don't even know where to begin with it. Number
Fred,
one, I'm
Fred, not, Freddie, you're now.
It's still bad?
Yeah, you got to reset your modem. Because now we can't really hear you. It's stuttering.
I think he's frozen.
Yeah, so sometimes when you freeze on Zoom, you can still get the audio, but now he's completely gone. Just send him a note. Well, I'm not going to say I'm embarrassed, but I'm glad. Because I've been seeing this story, and I saw it a few times since the last time you were with us. And then it came up again. So this is a great example. We've talked about this yesterday, and we touched on it briefly today. It's a great example of this tribalism that has infiltrated politics in a way that, you know, I'm a similar age to you. We've never seen in our lifetime. You know, like, I'm not a staunch conservative. I've voted conservative enough in my lifetime, as I have also voted liberal. But I am happy to have conversations with someone like you, because it's, you're, you know, you have perspective and acumen, and I can be, we can have a conversation. But we're old school guys now. It seems that modern conversations are so tribally, are in such a tribal manner that people can't have a regular conversation anymore, because just because you're you, I'm supposed to not think anything you say is valid.
And I'd go further, like, you know, when you, especially when you're traveling in the States, let's say, I bet you are very careful about the kind of conversations you have, because you don't know whether this is a never Trumper or a forever Trumper before, you know, and then you just don't want to get into an awkward social situation, let's say. So people self-edit themselves now because they're afraid of, not afraid, but they just don't want to be in an awkward situation.
And Freddie's exactly like me. When I'm down there, I lived in Mexico for 4 months, for 2 years now. When I run into Americans, I literally never bring it up. And if somebody does, I don't want to be part of the conversation, because, as I just said, you can't have a normal conversation.
No, I'm sure it affects marriages and affects families and relationships too. This is how we're in this weird political world now, where these things can affect those things as well. So it's not a good scene. I grant you that. I mean, we've had political battles in history before. I don't remember it very well, but I, you know, during the Vietnam War, you know, people inside the United States and the civil rights movement of the mid to late 60s, those were contentious times, and you know, parts of the U.S. were burning. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the Democratic Convention in Chicago, because in the 68 Democratic Convention, there was a lot of rage and riots going on outside the Democratic Convention. They're worried that might happen again with the Israel-Palestine issue.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But the fact is, I mean, those things have happened before. I'm not saying that they haven't happened, but there's just it's relentless now, guys. It's 24/7, 365. These battles are perpetual.
What the misinformation? I'm sorry, having gone away, I missed a bit of this. So is that what you're talking about? The misinformation that's out there?
And
how people are,
Yeah, and just the general political environment, Fred, that,
I get it.
Always arguing, yeah.
And it's a big problem you're going to have. I mean, I think Trudeau's hanging himself, but I mean, as far as Poilievre goes, I mean, that engine is revving for the left or, you know, liberals. It's their, you know, Pierre Poilievre is going to be Donald Trump. They're going to try and make him the Donald Trump of Canada, whether it's true or not. Now, you give us an example of the of that story spread by Dean Blundell. Why he's in jumping in that pool, I don't know, number one. But number two, and he promotes himself as, you know, truth in media, which is another bewildering thing when you say it's flat out not true. I guess only time will tell. But, you know, Howard and I know you as an individual, as a guy. We don't think you'd align yourself with somebody that was, you know, like,
well,
Trump,
and
per
it's
se.
Not, it's non-specific, right? Like, yeah. The allegation that we've been talking about, well, he can't get security clearance. Well, why can't he get security clearance? Well, might be something with his wife, or might be something, you know, his leadership was bought and paid for by India. I mean, this is crazy stuff.
I disagree with Fred on this. And in one, I don't think Pierre Poilievre, yes, Fred, he people will try and paint him as the Donald Trump of Canada.
Well, they are now,
but, oh, there's no comparables. Poilievre is a legislator. He's a bright guy. He's, you know, say what you want. You may not like his politics, but you can't. He's not a fucking moron. Sorry for the language. He's not. You know, he's a politician that some people on the left don't like, but he's not Donald Trump. What he is, though, is part of this global leaning to the right. I mean, what happened in Europe? Macron calling the election. The globalists, there's this, and it's worrisome, I think. Tony, what are your thoughts about that?
You know, I'm glad you raised that. What I'm seeing, and not just me, but what I'm seeing is the old monikers of left versus right that really were on a socioeconomic battle, let's put it that way, you know, between rich versus poor and that kind of thing, capitalism versus communitarianism or communism. These are the old battles. You know, what we're seeing now is this battle between the popular, I would call them the populist right, and a lot of criticism of the establishment parties, establishment media, establishment world institutions like the United Nations, for example. Yeah. And so that seems to be the fault lines now. And there's a lot of, let's face it, there's a lot of legitimate criticism of these establishment institutions. And there's a lot of stuff that is, you know, a little bit beyond the pale. Let's be
honest.
That's
really well said. That's very, 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 yeah. very
but
interesting.
But that's the dividing line now. Yeah. And so
it's more
the
ideological than it's ever been.
Yeah. And the populist right in Europe that gained seats, they didn't take over the European Parliament or anything, but they did gain seats. The issues that are driving them are immigration. They are, you know, climate action. Like a lot of these established governments are now saying, like, if we want to tackle climate change, it means we have to charge farmers more because they are generating a carbon issue. So these things now, now the farmers are upset in Holland and in France and in Germany, for example. Well, so it's all these issues riling people up.
And you know what it gets back to? And it's a tough one. Everybody needs to be equipped, you know, with the knowledge that so much of what you see and hear is bullshit because it's out there and there's no governors on it and anybody can write whatever they want and put it out there. It's all back on us now. Each individual has to do their due diligence before they fill out a ballot. And that's not an easy job. A lot of people don't have time for it. And traditionally people haven't done it, but we've never had an atmosphere like we have now. So sorry, it's on us now. You better use your head.
Yeah, and Fred, I like that response. I really do. Mm-hmm. Because the alternative to that is government deciding what is legitimate speech and what is legitimate to say. And that really, I understand disinformation and the concerns and so on, and there's batshit crazy stuff out there. I get that. But having a government decide what is crazy and what isn't crazy, I don't like that either.
No. Yeah, but Fred, I'll tell you, I mean, that's a wonderful notion, but unfortunately, people being, you know, human, we're just lazy, and so it's easier just to go on to your social media feeds, which are so curated. Before we let you go, though, because we're on a bit of a schedule today, just quickly, you know, I've been saying this now for a couple of years. There used to be a time, there once was a time, when somebody running for president would be convicted of 34 counts of felony charges, partly for having sex with a porn star while his wife is pregnant and paying her off so that the campaign, blah, 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 blah. So, any thoughts about that continued circus?
Yeah, well, I mean, boy, we're in a different time now. And
oh, yeah.
I will say this, I will say this about Trump. You know, you can't say he's an idiot, Humble. He maybe knew what was coming down the pipe. And so his message was relentless for weeks. This is a rigged trial. I'm being persecuted for my political beliefs. Yeah. They don't want me to run for president. You know, I'll go to jail to fight for you.
It is brilliant. The messaging.
It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And it's apparently working. What can I tell you?
And, you know, it gets back to what I just said a couple of minutes ago. I mean, all you have to do is scratch a little bit below the surface and you can see that's all bullshit. But, you know, Joe Average or half of America, they choose to just take it and believe him and go with it.
Like I've said, we've had this conversation. All you have to do is Google some stuff, but you have to want to.
You have to want to, yes.
You have to want to.
That's the key. That's the key. Yep.
And we've had some correspondence. I connected with this guy from Indiana who was on our show, just a middle-of-the-road American guy in his 40s, pretty rational, he's not wearing horns and going to the Capitol. But the stuff that he and I correspond with now, there's just no, it's all just, everything you've heard about the people who believe in Trump is what this guy believes, that the Biden administration is the most corrupt in U.S. history. All the talking points are there. I'll tell you what, if nothing else, you know what they say, may you always live in interesting times.
Mm-hmm. Always got lots to talk about with you guys, that's for sure.
Tony Clement is not only a political superstar, but he's also a podcaster.
Yeah.
His podcast called And Another Thing Podcast is available wherever your podcasts are. Also, you do some TV. What is the TV you do?
Boom and Bust on the News Forum. Yeah.
Love that.
Weeknights. Yeah. And by the way, on our podcast, it was our 200th episode yesterday that we posted. So
congratulations.
Feel very good about that. Yeah.
Oh, milestone. Milestone.
Well, dude, very few people get past number two. You got to 200.
Yeah.
And give our best to your co-host. Listen, man, always a pleasure. And all right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
buddy. Take it easy, Tom. Yeah. Right on, bro.
In the meantime, the Fred man, talk to me. Yeah. What do you got?
Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sports book, to their fully loaded casino and race book, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. The Florida Panthers beat the Edmonton Oilers 4-1 last night to take a 2-0 lead in the Stanley Cup final.
Dude, did you watch any of it?
Not really. Really consistent with the line, though. You know, the Panthers are heavily favored.
I don't get it. I watch the, they have these things where you can watch the game summary in like 8 minutes.
Yes.
I feel bad because I talked to Edmonton Steve yesterday. I know you'll get back to Bodog in a second, but Steve, I don't think he thinks we're talking enough about the Edmonton Oilers. I got the impression he'd like us to be more on to Edmonton. All I'll just say is I was hoping, because of my family in Alberta, I was really hoping the Oilers would release. They're not going to win a game.
Oh no, I'm not saying that. And who knows? It's going back to Edmonton now.
All
so
right.
You know, they're capable. I mean, it seems they played better in Game 1 than Game 2, but I did not see any last night. I am sorry. I sat on the couch and watched the pathetic Blue Jays with my wife.
Well, why would you rather watch the pathetic Blue Jays than Canada's, NHL Stanley Cup finalists?
Because I just enjoy sitting with my wife, and she loves the Blue Jays so much. And
when
it gets, when the games are real deciders in the hockey, I'll watch it. But I just love the fact, you know, like I sit there all frustrated because they can't hit good pitching. It's
no, they
it
can't.
Really is pathetic. But she doesn't care. She just loves them.
Did you finish the boat? Did you finish the boat dog?
Yeah, yeah, I did.
All right.
Yeah.
By the way, you said something before we get to the news. You said something when you were telling the story of going to the Blue Jays game for Doll's birthday. You were going to allow her to buy something. You were like, oh, Doll, I will allow you to buy some Blue Jays paraphernalia.
No,
like
no.
If Doll just wanted to buy something, does she have to like run it by you? Is that the kind of operation you're running over there?
No, not at all. It was her birthday was May 16th.
Yeah.
And she had talked about wanting a Blue Jay bucket hat, and she was looking online. And then she remembered the first game we went to, seeing one that she should have tried on at the Jay shop. And I said, well, here's the deal. Rather than me go out and buy you something that you probably don't want or won't use or whatever, I said, well, we're going to the game on June 6th again. So
your audio just shut off.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah. You said you went to the game June 6th and then it was just silent for a couple seconds.
What's going on with my internet? It's I got Rogers, like full tilt Rogers.
Dude, I don't know.
Must be an area problem. Anyway, and I said, so for your birthday, we'll go back to the J shop and grab some. That'll be your birthday present. So
okay.
She agreed.
All right, listen.
Yeah.
Just the way you described it before, it sounded like, you know, Doll was on a short leash, and when it came to spending money, I'm just checking in. Just checking in.
You can have a hat, but you can't have a sweater.
That's right. You're going to have a cat, but not a snack.
No, believe me. Every month, at the end of every month, I hand her the Visa bill, and I said, can you please reconcile all these winners' installments, just so I know that we've got... She goes, she buys stuff, and then she takes it back, and then she buys a couple of things and takes one of the items back. So we have to reconcile, like, what was spent and what was returned.
She really does that. She'll go and... Mm-hmm. Thinks she needs something and then brings it home and doesn't like the way it looks in the house and then takes it back. And
or she might see something and think, oh, there's two or three she likes. So she'll grab all three and bring them home and decide and then take the other two back. See?
Is she going to take the bucket hat back?
Oh, no. She likes the bucket hat.
I can't imagine. Doll is so cute. I was going to say, how cute Doll must look in that bucket hat.
Her Blue Jays bucket hat.
I'd like to see Fred in it.
Well, I was going to say that certain... Just funny you say it because there's certain people like... Doll can pull it off. You could probably pull it off. When Fred and I put on a bucket hat, honestly, it looks like we're on the inside of the short bus licking the windows.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I don't know, Dan. We just don't have it. By the way, that hat you're wearing, did I give you that or did you get that from our late friend Rick?
No, I got it through you somehow through Acme Pictures. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the place I used to work. For many years, and then we hired Dan for a couple jobs.
It was great.
I like it on you. It's he was a very sweet man. Fred Rick Randma was his name.
And I met him.
Yeah, yeah, you met him. And the very first time we had any access, long before we knew what we were doing, we used Rick's server early on in the podcast to get us some numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it ended up on his server, but it did. Anyway, he passed away way too young, like mid-50s.
Oh.
But I worked for him for several years between radio gigs. All right, Dan Duran, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Ready? There was a gap there. Yes, you weren't ready.
Well, because I was looking for the screen with this thing on it.
No.
Here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low.
Ho!
Dan Duran, the anchor man, comes and asks for credentials. He has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care, and his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now live from Lakeside, still wearing three layers, looking as dashing as ever in his cool director's hat, with his headphones over them. Here he is, TV anchor, movie newsman, and dear friend, Daniel J. Giebert Duran, the third. Daniel?
Okay. I don't know if you heard about this, but Graceland almost went to Auctionland through Fraudland. It's the boldest title fraud I've ever heard of. A fraudulent company tried and made auction off Graceland, the Elvis House in Memphis, but a Tennessee court stepped in and said no. The crooks claimed that Lisa Marie Presley, Elvis's late daughter, had defaulted on a loan that they claim was made for her to... Is there music going on right now?
Yeah, Graceland.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, of course, it's Graceland. Anyway, so they had said that she had made a loan and used Graceland as collateral, and then they were going to auction off the estate. The court found that the supporting documents were fraudulent, but the criminals were like, they're like idiots in a way, because they're doing like this high-risk criming that would only draw a super amount of scrutiny because, you know, it's a public, you know...
Yeah,
it's Graceland, well, for crying out loud.
I've told you this for years, Dan. You know, our best and brightest are, they don't go into crime. only in the movies do the best and brightest go into crime. You know, I've never been there. I know you have, Fred, man.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, because, you know, when you're a kid, Elvis died in, I think, 77. Pardon me?
77, yeah.
77. The summer I started in radio at CHAB Moose Jaw, there was a big... You know, we made a big deal about it, you know, Elvis dying. And then you think about Graceland, and your mind, you think it's this mansion, this fabulous structure and this palace. But Fred, what is it really like?
Well, it's crazy because you drive up to the area and you got to go on one side where it's like a bus terminal. And then you have to get on a bus and they just, it's just a loop. And they drive you up to the front entrance and let you off. And then you walk through. I don't even know how to describe it.
Is it the same size as your place?
Similar. Well, it's sort of like a ranch bungalow style. I would say square footage, not a hell of a lot more. And that's what blew me away. How it was, number one, weird. A lot of the statues and taxidermy stuff he had in there and the shag carpet and the basic rec room like anyone would have with wood paneling, like, that whole aspect blew me away because I have a thought of Graceland as this big majestic mansion. It just simply is not that. And it was a weird, weird experience from top to bottom, how you got there, what it was. Then you walk out back and he's buried out back. It's like
he's buried in the backyard.
Yeah.
Isn't that
weird?
Great?
It's all weird. I'm glad I did it. I've never been an Elvis fan. I've never really taken him seriously. To me, it was like a novelty act, to be honest. Sorry. But I'm glad I did it.
Why are you apologizing?
Well, because I know people just love him. There's people that love him like I love the Beatles. Like, it's crazy, you know?
There's a couple of, I was never a big Elvis fan. I played some of his music on some radio stations when we would do, there was an AM station I worked at in Vancouver. And maybe we even did this in Moose Jaw sometimes. That was the days when they'd say, this weekend, all this weekend, the songs of the 60s, all this weekend. It's an all Elvis weekend.
Ugh.
And so, yeah, I was part of that. I always found it. But there's a couple of Elvis songs where you get the eye, where you really understand what a great singer he was.
Oh.
Like the movies were ridiculous, but the man could sing. And in fact, in that movie with Tom Hanks and that guy.
Yeah,
that's pretty
excellent.
Good.
Yeah, remember his song "In the Ghetto"? In the ghetto.
Ghetto.
That's the one I remember.
Mother cries.
Remember our, speaking of colleagues in broadcasting, our buddy Jimmy Lang, like he lives for Elvis, and I used to go out of my way to take shots at Elvis, and he would get quite annoyed. Like Elvis to him was the thing.
That's just so typical of us. It's like, you know, hey, you like that? Well, we'll mock it. On a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born. Okay, Dan, thank you for your... And the snow flies. Dan, thank you for your news. Don't go away.
Okay.
It's time for the condo report.
On a cold and gray Chicago
this
morning,
is a great song.
A poor little baby child is born in the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
And his mama cries.
Let's get Nick Ines here. There he is.
Because if there's one thing she don't...
Are you are you an Elvis fan, Nick?
Oh, who doesn't love the king?
Hey. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you who doesn't. 50% of this Zoom call doesn't love the king.
They're out of their mind. What can I say?
All right. Easy now. Nick Ines is the founder and CEO of Fusion Corp Developments, Inc., in Toronto at FusionCorp.ca. He's the author of the New York Times bestseller, Building Toronto's Skyline, which late I've heard Castle Rock, the film company, is interested in turning Building Toronto's Skyline into a live action or an animated short. I don't know, Nick, but when that deal comes through,
this is some kind of a crazy joke here. But you know, starring Humble and Fred too. You guys,
yes, baby. Mm-hmm. Well, just go along with it.
You guys get screwed in the end, so.
Yeah, well, that would be Humble and Fred. Nicholas, welcome to the program. Dan's going to stick around because as soon as you're done, we're going to wrap things up. Tell me, my friend, what are the latest developments? As I mentioned, this neighborhood of mine, is condos are springing up. What's going on with your development, 60onbroadway.com?
Okay, I'm going to get to all of that today.
But yeah, do it.
First, I want to say, ¿Cómo estás, caballeros? Okay?
Ah, sí, señor. Está bien, como siempre.
I know you guys make me speak Spanish. I like this. This is my only time to practice Spanish. Except
now, why you're doing that? Because you were away. Where were you? Were you in?
I was in Colombia.
Ah, sí, señor. Por supuesto.
All right, that's enough of that. So,
all right.
Today, we're certainly going to talk about the condo industry. But before we begin, I have a special announcement. So I'm holding an author series reception at the Albany Club on Thursday, June 20th, starting at 5:30. $50 for members, $70 for guests. It includes a book, canapé, and reception bar. And we would love anyone interested to RSVP reservations at albanyclub.ca. So I'm going to be speaking at the Albany Club. Very exciting.
That's June 20th, Albany Club. Reservations at albanyclub.com. It starts at 5:30.
And albanyclub.ca.
I'm sorry, albanyclub.ca. Wrote it down quickly. What will your talk be about?
I'm going to talk a little bit about the historic venue where I'm going to be speaking, and also some key highlights from my book, and there'll be a question and answer session at the end, not to mention open bar at the beginning at least.
Nice. Nice.
Do you, Nick, like doing such things? Do you enjoy speaking like that?
I'm here, am I not?
Okay, no, I'm just wondering. Because
you know what? I think this is a new thing for me in terms of writing the book and getting out there and speaking. I enjoy it, yes.
Good for you.
Excellent. Well, anyone interested in this scene, Nick's an expert. He wrote a book on it, and you have a chance to see Nick in person. Why don't you just give us a couple of thoughts right now, a couple of highlights, things you're thinking about?
Oh, for my book?
General, in the condo world, my friend. Yeah. This is your moment.
Back to the condo.
State of the condo address.
I was in one moment, I was producing a documentary film.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here, guys.
We're with the man behind the scenes of Building Toronto Skyline. It's time for the Condo Report.
It is time. So we had some good news. We were talking about early predictions in 2024, and we were going to get pick up some momentum near the end of the 2024. We're here now. On June 5th, we were waiting for this great announcement. The Bank of Canada reduced its rate by 25 basis points to 4.75%. And I think people are generally excited about this. And it's possible we're going to see more cuts in July, but don't hold your breath 100%, obviously. A lot of factors are involved in that, including economic factors, but also our relationship with the U.S. down in the States there. But I think overall, this is good news for the condo industry.
Excellent.
And, we are looking very closely at the situation since, again, we're about to launch our Orangeville project in approximately 4 weeks, which is an incredible, unique site, as you know, and I've been talking about it for a while now. And it's one of the top GTA cities with the highest condo price increase, so which is amazing.
Yeah, that interest rate cut, I mean, just psychologically for Canadians, it puts a little wind in your sails. It's better than going the other way after what we've been through. So it's got to change the mindset of some people.
Yes, and I think it's like obviously it's not massive accomplishment, but it does signal that we're going to be heading in, probably heading in a rate cuts and further downward spiral and interest rates, which is good
Yeah,
for our.
I like what Fred was saying there, because it does it's it's like it's better than it going up. So it's going
Yes.
a little bit. It will get people back in the mode of looking for great developments like 60, number 60, on Broadway.com. When you say it's 4 weeks away, what stage, like, have you built that? Do you have like a presentation center? Is that
Yeah,
up?
so the sales office is more or less complete. It's about 80% complete. There's a bunch of legal documents that have to be prepared for this, for getting ready for that sales. There's a bit of a tarion registration going on in the background, so the developer has to make sure his registrations are in place before he can sell. So there's a number of things that you have to get ready for that sales office.
And
So.
it sounds that, take this for as a compliment, because it sounds like a lot of grown-up stuff that you have to be
I'd say.
concerned with. Where he and I and even this fellow in the this
Yeah.
guy
In a
in
hat.
the hat,
Who
Dan
is
Duran. We don't.
that,
Yeah,
Dan
that's Dan Duran.
Duran?
We don't. We rarely have anything remotely grown up to deal with. But it sounds to me like there's a lot of things you need to keep track of before it's available to the public.
Yeah, there is quite a bit to get ready for the public. There's a lot of work involved in the industry that we work in. If you kind of knew what I did every day, you'd be saying, "Wow, they should write a movie about this guy."
Exactly.
Right
Exactly. Nick Innes
on.
wants you to go to number 60 on Broadway.com. If you want to see Nick in person, we encourage you to do so on the 20th of June, Albany Club. If you want to participate, it's 50 for members, 75 for guests. Reservations at albanyclub.ca. Did I get it right that time?
You got it.
Well, listen, we may not have grown-up stuff to do, but we've done this nonsense for thousands of years. Listen, man, thanks for your participation in this program. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that's why you got. Oh, I love Elvis. Let's go. Let's keep
All right,
going.
baby.
Hasta
Nick
luego,
Innes.
leyendas.
Hasta
Okay,
luego,
brother, take it
amigos.
easy.
Hasta pronto, próxima. All right, man, take
Okay.
care.
See you next time, brother.
You guys, see you soon.
Thanks, Nick. And before we go, we've got to talk about another contributor to this program. Of course, the retirement Sherpa.
Oh, yeah. Tim Niblett, a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tomorrow, Sherpa J will visit the show, and he'll talk about investing for your kids. RESP and Summer of Savings is the title of tomorrow's presentation. Teaching our young ones to pay themselves first, okay? Pay yourself first. A basic economic rule that people should learn at an early age. We look forward to that. And listen, if you have a portfolio, you're not sure about its performance, you'd like somebody to have a second look, Jay or Tim will have a look, give you an assessment, tell you whether you're on the right track, whether you should stay with your guy or come over to the Sherpa side. It's the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
Yeah, I started in radio in like July, late June, July of 1977. Very shortly after, Elvis dies August of that year, and the radio station goes into complete Elvis mode.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later, I'm in Vancouver working at another AM radio station doing the All Night Show. And I told you, I went in to work the night, December 8th, 1980, the day
Yeah.
that Lennon died. That's quite a legacy of death tributes for my first 3 years of business.
What blows me away, Elvis was 42, which is young, but Lennon was 40. Lennon basically, well, younger than my daughter is now, and almost the same age as Danny is now. At the time, I was 20 something, so 40 seemed old, but now in retrospect, 40 is so
I know
young.
what you mean. You think
Oh.
because I was in 1980, I was 20 years old, and so
Yeah.
in a weird way, 40 seemed old enough to die.
Yeah. It was like, oh well, he has a good he's had
He's
a good
lived
run.
he's
He's
got a
had a
good
good
run.
run.
He's lived a good long life. It's kind of like with you, Dan. When Abe Lincoln died, you were there, and
Yeah, Abe Lincoln.
You know, back in the day, he said, "Well, old honest Abe led a good, solid life."
Yeah, go with God, said Dan.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow on the show, what are we doing? We're wrapping this up tomorrow on the program. It's going to be a good one. Bill Brio will be with us. Lots of TV talk. And tomorrow, Dan will encourage you during his extra, but I'll remind you that we read our emails, and tomorrow we will crown a new recipient of the Humble and Fred Zoom Theater. And as always, we appreciate you all being here. Thanks to Tony Clement. Fred, get your internet fixed, and you know, let's figure some shit out.
Yeah, that's weird, eh?
Yeah.
It's weird, yeah.
You're weird.
Oh, yeah. Like this episode.
I have Rogers Ignite. It should be top performer.
All right, whatever.
Top performers. The episode of Humble and Fred was brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. For contests and comments, we read the emails. Tomorrow's the show. Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. Tell us what you think. Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. And something you could do for us is subscribe to the podcast. Maybe share an episode, and rating a podcast helps as well. For Humble and Fred, from the Ray and Nancy McLeod Elder Zoom Theater featuring the Sean Martin's Lobby Bar, I'm Dan Duran. And remember, watch the Blue Jays instead of the Oilers, and don't leave your sunglasses on the roof of your car. And you'll enjoy every goddamn day. I got